27 Sunday, Year B, Ordinary Time. The first reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 to 24. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a suitable partner for him." So the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called each of them would be its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. So the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. When he brought her to the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called a woman, for out of her man this one had been taken." That is why a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two of them become one body. Second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. But we do see Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death. He who for a little while was made lower than the angels, that by the grace of God he might take death for everyone. For it were fitting that he for whom and to whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the leader to their salvation perfect through suffering. He who consecrated and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. The Pharisee approached and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted him to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate." In the house, the disciples again questioned him about it. He said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. And people were bringing children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw it, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them and placing his hands on them. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. God's ideal and human weakness. When God commands people to do something, people have ability to do that thing, because he shall not command people to do something which they are unable to do. There are many reasons why people do not do God's command. First, people like to do what they want because it pleases them. Secondly, people are lazy, afraid of difficulty, suffering, or death. Lastly, they do not make use of the supernatural gifts which God gives to them through the sacraments. Today's reading centers on the loyalty in the marital vocation, with many things impossible to keep. In the first reading, the author of Genesis affirmed that the marital vocation is in God's plan for human beings right from the beginning. God does not want them to be lonely, but he wants them to have a companion. To do this, God took a rib from the man and filled it with flesh to form the woman. He led the woman to the man, and the man said to her, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man this one had been taken." They are the first couple, and from that time on, that is why a man leave his father and mother and link to his wife, and the two of them become one body. In the second reading, the author of Hebrews wanted to emphasize that right leg can help people to do what God commands. Through Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, people are forgiven and sanctified by the sacraments established by Christ. People must use from these sacraments to be able to live according to God's laws and right teaching. In the Gospel according to Mark, when some Pharisees came and asked Jesus that if people can divorce each other, Jesus, though he knew that Moses permitted them to divorce, still confirmed God's will from the beginning. What God has joined together, no human being must separate. Second analysis, first reading. The covenant of marriage is in God's will from the beginning. Third point. God's will for human beings. This is the second account on God's creation of human beings according to their tradition, in which the author pay a special attention on the union between a man and a woman in the familial vocation. Several things which we need to pay attention to. First, God does not want people to live by themselves. This is God's will, not a human will. The first man did not complain with God that he did not have a woman. God himself recognized the fact that it is not good for a man to live by himself. God wanted to find a suitable partner for him. The word partner, Boethod in Septuagint and Hesiod in Masoretic text, caused many arguments. Some said that the woman is only an assistant for the man. Therefore, women can never be equal to men. This explanation had no foundation, because in the New Testament, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are also called the helpers. They must have more than power than men to help them. The difficulty is not on the using of the word partner or companion, but at the translation of the following preposition, kelexo in Hebrew and katoton in Greek. The NAB version translated as for him, while the ISV version translated as fit for him. The ISV is rendered better, but suitable or fit in what way? Physically, intellectually, or spirituality? Second point. God make a suitable partner for the man. First, God tried with animals. The author of Genesis reported, so the Lord God formed out of the ground various wild animals and various birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called them would be his name. The man gave name to all the cattle, all the birds of the air, and all the wild animals, but none proved to be the suitable partner for the man. The animals, though have many similar traits as men, such as beautiful, meek, likable, loyal, etc., but not able to be compared with human beings. This shows that dog is not a man's best friend, as someone wanted to say. The naming, according to Jewish tradition, indicate the naming authority over the named. God tried with a woman. The author continued, so the Lord God cast a deep sleep on the man, and while he was asleep, he took out one of his ribs and closed up his place with flesh. The Lord God then built up into a woman the rib that he had taken from the man. The reaction of the man. Seeing the woman, the man exclaimed, this one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of her man did one have been taken. The Hebrew noun for man is is, and for woman is issa. The true noun is so the relationship between them. The author concluded, that is why a man leave his father and mother and lends to his wife, and the two of them become one body. Second reading. Jesus went through suffering to lead human beings to salvation. Third point. Christ went through his passion and death to take away people's sins. The author of Hebrews said, Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death. He who for a while, little while, will make louder than the angels, that by the grace of God he might take death for everyone. For people to attain salvation, first, Jesus must take away their sins and punishments. He did it by willingly accepting suffering to his passion and death. When people's sins are taken away, they are reconciled with God. Second point. Not only Christ forgives sin, but he also sanctifies the human beings. The author confirmed this aspect when he said, he who consecrated and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brother. By the incarnation, Jesus became a man. That is why the author said, Jesus had the same origin as man and willingly calls all his brothers. Although Jesus redeemed the people's sin and the salvation belonged to human beings, but they need to demonstrate to God their faith in Christ by a life of witness, for example, to be loyal to their familial, priestly, or religious vocation. To help them to do this, Jesus established the seven sacraments. Many people forget or do not know the importance of the sacraments in their life, especially the true sacraments. The sacrament of the Eucharist gives strength so people can overcome temptation, difficulty, and trial in their life. The sacrament of reconciliation helps people to recognize their sins against God and others. At the same time, it helps people to understand, to forgive, and to solve conflicts in their familial life. Third, the gospel. Divorce and having children. Fourth, human weakness. There were some Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. First, Moses' law. Jesus asked them, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted him to write a bill of divorce and did meet her." But Jesus told them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment." Second, why did the church permit divorce if it is God's law? We need to differentiate between God's ideal and human weakness. First, the ideal we God wants people to follow. This ideal is never changed. And the reality shows many people raise this ideal. Many couples were loyal to the end, though they went through many sufferings. Secondly, weaknesses and sins prevent people from reaching this ideal of God. When people do not reach this ideal, it does not mean that God's ideal is impossible to reach or God's law is wrong. But people must humbly confess that it is their weakness and sin. The church permits divorce due to human sin, weaknesses, and hardness. There are many reasons to dissolve a marriage. In general, the reasons are due to ignorance of the sacrament of matrimony set up. Parents force their children to marry those they do not want. It can be due to their desire of power, position, or material gain. In these cases, their children lack freedom to marry. People irresponsibly marry. Most of the church dissolving of marriage is the lack of form, which means the couple marry not according to the church law. Therefore, it is not legal. For example, marriage to go to a foreign country or to acquire money, etc. People did not spend time to know each other before marriage. For example, marry the one who already married, who had problems to live a marital vocation or who does not have the same religion. Many couples end up in divorce because they do not live their faith or receive grace from the sacrament. Without faith and grace, there is no way they can overcome obstacles in their life. Even in the case of being forced to divorce, God's grace can help them to overcome lonely and fleshly desire. Second point, the problem of having children. Mark reported, all people were bringing children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw it, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not prevent them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Amen, I say to you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." Then he embraced them and blessed them, placing his hands on them. True purposes of marriage are to share their love with each other and to have children. Many couples want to have the first and ignore the second. They do not want to have any or just two or three children. The following are some of their reasons. They are afraid to be burdened by children. These were the reasons that the disciples prevented them to come to Jesus. The adults are afraid of taking care of children. They do not want them to disturb their peace, their sleep, etc. Second, they are afraid of caring for children. Children are not able to take care of themselves, but completely depend on their parents. Many couples are afraid that if they spend their time to care for children, they shall have no time to care for themselves. Third, besides, there are many fallacious arguments against having children, such as overpopulation, have no financial means to care for them. If the parents are unable to educate them, it is better for them not to be born, etc. Besides, the reason are individualism and selfishness. They are afraid that if they spend time to care for children, they shall have no time to care for themselves, to travel, or to enjoy life. Application in life. When God commands us to do something, we have ability to do that thing. We need to believe and to obey what He teaches, to practice a life of virtue, and to yield necessary grace to the sacraments. We need to learn to know how to receive the sacrament and its grace, especially to frequently receive those sacraments which we can receive many times. Amen.